Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much. Just being here to raise our voice and worship you, we're thankful for that. So everything we do for your glory, Father. And also pray you will use me to share your word through the Holy Spirit. And I pray the Holy Spirit in the heart of the people in this room can hear your voice and apply for their life. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Love expressed in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 47. For this series, we eventually will go through most of the book of Acts. Love is something or indeed very, very difficult to define or to explain. Most of the people in today's society equate love with romance or sex or some kind of emotion. However, true love goes much deeper than that. It also takes many forms. The love between the man and the woman in the marriage is just one variety of love. So as a follower of Christ, of Jesus Christ, we are commanded to love one another. So what exactly does that mean? The second chapter of the book of Acts sheds some light on that question. What kind of love did the earlier Christian have for each other? So I picked the verse for all of you to remember. In the 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And that's the whole principle of love which the earlier church tried to explain to us. Three things I'm going to share with you based on the book Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. What exactly is it, the principled love, a practical love, and purposeful love? A principled love. Verse 41, 43. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were baptized or were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through apostles." So two things Luke tried to communicate. The principal love is grow out of their devotion to Christ. So you could find out they were baptized. And most of you in this room, probably you have been baptized. So to be baptized, so it can be joined together in the church, belong to the family of God. And also remember, while baptism does not save, but it is important symbol of what Christ had done for us. A couple of weeks ago, we had a baptism. And I already explained to you, when it submerged the person into the water, it means the old person died. And when it raised out the water, it became a new person to follow Christ, a new individual with Christ. And you would understand that they were baptized because they gladly received. And Peter's message about Jesus, it was an act of obedience to Jesus. So baptism is an act of obedience. And you also find out, talking about the wonder and sign of the apostle brought fear unto them. Mostly, At that point in time, the wonders and signs refer to the miracle of healing. And I still strongly believe that the miracle of healing still happens. And if you meet one of our elders in the church, he has a cancer. But through the prayer and the faith in Christ, and within 3 months, well, with the minimum some chemo and all of that stuff, he completely healed. And 15 years now, it's not even coming back yet. And he, very, very strong witnesses about the faith and the healing in terms of prayer. And they fear God. Fear is not always a bad thing. For instance, suppose you drive, most of you drive the car, okay, you drive along the road and you happen to see the policeman or the highway patrol. What exactly your first reaction? You look at your speedometer to say, am I driving at the speed limit? I'm driving over. I don't know about you, but if suddenly I saw the policeman, I suddenly, okay, did I just run the stop sign? No, yes, no, maybe. On the back step, going on. Why? Because we have a healthy fear, afraid of getting the tickets. And suddenly we work for the whole day, and one ticket, it wipe out the whole day of work. Okay, so that's the healthy fear. The kind of fear is healthy because Christ is our Lord, who will someday call in us to account for what we do on earth. So we should have a healthy fear for him. So fear from that perspective is good. Okay? But it's also based on the teaching of Christ. They continue steadfast in apostle doctrine. Because of doctrine. So that reason why every Sunday we gather together, okay, we listen to God's word, we study through Sunday school, we study the Bible, we pray together, because that's what the doctrine is talking about. And we also try to understand what exactly about Christ, about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the teaching of Christ and how his fulfillment of the Old Testament. So when you study the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, you would find out from the beginning of time, from Genesis on the way to the book of Revelation, talking about Christ. And New Testament is just the fulfillment of whatever foretell or predict about Christ. And even when we get to the book of Revelation, it's also talking about Christ, how he returned, and the end of the world, how it would happen. But it's also talking about the fellowship. It's talking about the fellowship. It suggests they met regularly, enjoy one another's company. It's also quoted in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24-25, talking about fellowship. Yes, that's the reason why every Sunday we try to imitate the fellowship, so we have lunch together. Because some of you, maybe you don't have the chance of fellowship at home. So the church, we try to mimic or imitate the fellowship. So we have Christmas program, we gather together, we have a meal together, we come to home, we have dinner together. That's an act of fellowship, encourage each other. And it's also talking about the break of bread, most likely to the Lord's Supper. And we try to imitate that too. Every Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, we have the Lord's Supper. It just reminded us how Christ died on the cross because of us. So we remember him. And so it's kept reminding us, encouraging us to follow him. So the question becomes, why the doctrine is so important? Because the Bible talking about we rejoice in the truth. So the doctrine of Jesus Christ enables to separate the truth and from the falsehood. And when Paul, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, think no evil, rejoice not in iniquity. So the doctrine helping us to know the difference between the good and the evil. So I hope that every time when you study the Bible passage, the scripture, or even when you listen to my message from the scripture, you get out some principle truth. It can be applied to your own life. And secondly, he's talking about the practical love. Now, all who believe were together had all things in common, and sold their possession and goods, divided them among all, as anyone has need. So he's talking about practical love, because you can talk love all day long, but it's not applied, it's not practical. What exactly does it mean? Because it's worth almost nothing, it's onward. And the same thing between husband and wife, sometimes it's just an act of kindness, little thing, it makes the wife happy. Or just a little thing makes the husband happy. And the same thing in the family. Okay, we can apply the principle to the family. Way back when our home, you know, were very low income, when we just get married, we didn't have much. So we have a habit that, you know, a cupcake. So suddenly somebody success something, we go out there, we get 30-cent cupcake or 25-cent cupcake. And I have the red plate. We put the cupcake on the red plate. It means, whoa, something good. So we try to create something. It's just different. Or when the children do something good, we have red plate. Or some you know, everybody have a regular dinner plate. And suddenly this person do something good, be recognized, and suddenly have the red plate. It means, whoa, you did something good. So it's not talking about something is, you know, tremendous. You have to invest thousands and thousands of dollars. But sometimes it's just a little thing. It's symbolic of thing to remind you do something good, to express the love. But remember, when you study this passage, it's not indictment of the private property or free enterprise. Okay? Oh my goodness, I forgot to get this one into English. But anyway, I will try to explain. Yeah, I'm prepared a sermon in Vietnamese and then translate, and somehow I miss out one. Basically, it's not indictment of private property and free enterprise. Because when you study the book of Acts, and Luke, he wrote the story about Peter rebuke Ananias and Sapphira, not because they own the property or even because they kept back the part of the prophets, but because they lie about it. Okay? So don't just follow the word and then, you know, after this sermon you go home, you sell your car and your house. No. But whatever you have within your mean, okay, you help each other out. You cannot help somebody when your kid is hungry. It didn't make any sense. So you have to take care of your own family first. And within your capacity, you help other people. So that's what it means. And then when you study down to Lydia, okay, so we talk about free enterprise. Lydia, she's buying and selling, all of that stuff. So it looks like she has some kind of business. And the income generated from her business, she used to help other people. Okay? So this passage here did not against your private property or your free enterprise. But they did it. They did it because there was a need. Okay? Because there is the need for that. Because you need to understand the earlier believer was Jew. And when the Jew, when they pray, accept Christ as the Lord, the Savior, they get kicked out of the community. Okay? They lost their job. And very much their community, the Jewish community, very much persecute them. So they had to come to the Christian community to get help. So the act of kindness of the community of faith, pitching together to help each other out. But again, you need also understand we are not to subsidize the laziness, because the Bible in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 to 11, not because we do not have authority to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybody. So what exactly Paul tried to tell the people at the church of the Thessalonians? He said, we should help those who legitimate needs. A while back, there is the church member, if very much lost a job. So he come to church to help. So initially we help them, but we also try to create a job for this person to do. Okay? And the reason when they just create a job for the person to do, so he earn his living. So he not had a feeling of like a pity handout stuff. So we create, okay, how about mow the lawn and cut the grass, something like that. And in our neighborhood, we pitch together to help some of the people who lost job when they come to our neighborhood community ask for help. So we kept randomly, because example, our house, we had a sprinkler system. Okay, so we schedule our neighborhood. So example, Monday, I turn off the sprinkler system in the summer, and this person, you know, with the hose and water and water the grass, and they get paid, something like that. So we not because you know, they have unfortunate situation, but we don't want to create the condition which that person become lazy or depend on the handout help. And of course, our neighborhood, we also set up, okay, Monday, you mow the lawn of this over here, and Tuesday, whatever, until the person find the job. So that's the way the community can pitch together and help it out, that kind of thing. So why it is so important for the Christian to help with material needs? Because Jesus commanded it. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 31, 46, he said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." So Matthew, Jesus Christ, commanded us to do. And the Christian love demanded, in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 17, 18, "But whoever has this world good and sees his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And that the practical love means. But it's also the love is purposefully love. So when you read on, you will find out. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to church daily those who were being saved." So Matt, they continue to meet regularly to church, but they spread to other people in community. Okay, they have favor in all people. So how do we reconcile the statement from Jesus' prediction in John chapter 15, 19, that the world will hate his disciple? But in this case, okay, when the people, the church people, the Christian love each other, and suddenly from that love, and it's just like, you know, I put up some example, okay, during the Hurricane Harvey, some of you go out there to the community, okay, and pass out water, something like that. And we go to the house, we help clean up houses, quite a few. And we go to the Buddhist, some group Vietnamese, we go to the Buddhist temple even to help out, because the people need help at that time. So when we do something, the favor with all the people, it's just like in the month of March, Okay, some of you, actually, your guy organized the event, over 1,200 people in this community go through our church to celebrate or to help the fire department. The captain, Williams, you know, he lost his eyes because the attack. And Willingham, okay, Captain Willingham, okay, he got attacked during the fire, and he lost his eyes. And our church, you organized the event, and 1,200 people in this community go through the church to celebrate and to raise money to help him. So the impact for the community is tremendous. So that's what is meant by favor with all the people. So the purposeful love is mean what? Number one, they continue to meet regularly, okay, Sunday, worship together, study Bible together, and during the week, you have some meeting on Wednesday, gathering together, fellowship, and study the Bible together. Spread because they favor with all the people, and the church continue to grow. And that's what Luke, through the book of Acts, tried to communicate to us. So love expressed is the principle of love. It means people had the same faith, baptized, gathering together, had the bonding through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he is love. And when we're binding with him, we have the love from the heart and express it out. And we don't just talk, we do it. And practical love is mean very much do it and don't talk. And purpose, so at least the people can see each one of you when you're doing that, and they come to Christ and the church or the community of faith would grow. Okay? So let us stand up together and we read this verse. And you know the routine. We read first time exactly the word, and the second time, put your name in there. Do you recognize the picture? Okay. That's you, some of you up there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Second time, put your name in there. Okay, you have to read like, if I read it, it would be Hong San. Don't just love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay? Okay, now let's read again with your name in it. I have children. You don't have some of you, you don't have children yet. Okay, you have children, but we talk about you. Okay. Okay, memorize it, meditate it, so become part of you. Okay, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to study about your love, to study about the principle, the practical, and the purpose of your love, so we can spread the gospel to other people, and through us, people see Jesus Christ. We love you, and we just want to give all the people in this room to you for guidance, for protection and blessing. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all the people, your children in this room, from now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.